saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright as the shining sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first be. God bless you, Robert.
So the fifth grade was a big year for me. I was at a new school with all new kids, and I had a new set of friends. I remember one time early in that year of fifth grade, I went with some of the other kids to the 76 grocery store, 76 gas station over on Johnson, I think it was. Anyway, we go in, and on the way in, my new friends said, just keep it quiet, Barry, okay? I wasn't quite sure what their plan was, but I soon figured it out. They started putting candy bars in their pockets. And their plan was just to walk out with them. And, in my stomach, I had something. Like, this isn't right. This isn't what you're supposed to do at a store. But I didn't say anything. I just went along with it. And we left, and we had candy bars. Well, today, we're continuing in a series that we started many weeks ago now. We are walking through the Ten Commandments, and today, we are up to the Eighth Commandment. So, let us pray, and then we are going to have the reading of God's words on this one, and there's not a lot of them. I think there's, what, four words on this one? But they say a lot. So let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that everything we need to know about salvation in your son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book that you have given us. You empowered prophets and teachers and apostles and others to write these words down by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we would know the truth. And Lord, we believe that we have the truth. So Lord, guide us today as we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, we've gone through the Ten Commandments. So far, we've talked about having no other gods, having no idols, not taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. We've talked about Sabbath principles. We've talked about honoring mother and father. We've talked about murder. We talked about adultery last week. And this week, we are talking about the Eighth Commandment. And this is Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. We hear these words that Moses wrote down. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. Well, before we dive headlong into this commandment, I do want to give a quick overview of the picture that we have for these commandments as Christians. This is something that we've talked about, I think, every week, because I think it's important. There are some people that believe that you need to be good, and if you're good, then God will accept you and you'll be saved. Before I was a Christian, I had a concept like that. I said I would have said, you know what, I don't believe in God, but if there was a God, then I've been good my whole life. You know, I didn't actually steal those candy bars in fifth grade. It was the other guys. I just kept my mouth shut. And because I'm good, certainly if there is a God, I would be let into heaven. Well, as Christians, we don't believe that this is the way, that this is the way of salvation. It's not about being good so that we can be saved. Yes, we recognize that the commandments are the best way to live. And we recognize that the commands do keep humanity and us on track. But they do not save. They do not save. That was accomplished by Jesus. And by Jesus alone. Jesus went on the cross, and there he satisfied the wrath of God against sin on our behalf. He took all of our sin and shame on himself on the cross, and he died for us, so that we would have life. He was our substitute. He was our substitutionary lamb. And because of his work on the cross and his resurrection on the third day, we now have the gift of God's grace, eternal life. Not because of anything that we've done, not because we've been good and earned it, but because Jesus accomplished it on the cross for us. This is our message. This is the message of the Christian faith. This is the good news of Jesus. This is the gospel, that it was all accomplished by Jesus. So, Ten Commandments. We put those on the walls of our churches, and we talk about the Ten Commandments. And maybe during our services, we read them from time to time. What use are they for us then, if they're not saving? Well, certainly, like I said, they are the best way to live, and they do keep us on track. Another use for us is that they remind us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We can look at the commandments and we can say, oh, wow, yeah, oh, okay, yeah, yes, oh, no, I'm not good, and I'm not going to earn salvation because of that. I've broken these commandments, and I need a Savior. I need Jesus. That's the proclamation of this pastor. I can look at these commandments, and I need Jesus. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. So the Ten Commandments help point that out. And another use for them is gratitude. Because we love God, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can now live with gratitude for God and his will and his ways. And if we want to know God's will and his ways, we go to his scriptures. And part of his scriptures is these Ten Commandments. So we can look to these and we can live these in gratitude for all that God has done for us through Jesus. So this particular command, you shall not steal, or thou shall not steal, depending on what translation it is that you memorize these in. We shall not steal. Well, what is stealing? Stealing is taking something that does not belong to you without permission. Taking something that does not belong to you without permission. And we can go back to the garden on this one. We can go back to God's garden where God had rules in place. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam and Eve, they took what wasn't theirs to take. They were supposed to stay away from it. Part of the fall to sin was them disobeying God and taking what did not belong to them. And in the Old Testament, we read about some of the consequences of breaking this command. One example I found, Exodus 22, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. In the Old Testament, there was restitution required for stealing. Stealing was a big deal in God's eyes. In fact, such a big deal that he made it one of his commandments or one of his words. A few years ago, I met a young college student, and he had come to Christ in his freshman year. And in conversation with him, he said that he had something to do. And I don't remember if he was going to do this over spring break or if he was going to do it after he got home in May, after his second semester. I can't remember the timing on it, but something that he had done in his senior year of high school was eating away at him. He learned God's commands, and he learned about grace in Jesus, but he also learned that it was time to fess up. Earlier in his senior year, him and some friends had stolen a car and took it for a joyride, and had crashed it out, and they had never gotten caught. But he was convicted. He was convicted that restitution was required for what he had done. And when he got home, he was going to stop in at the police station. He was going to let them know what had happened. He was convicted by this command, thou shalt not steal. In the New Testament, we see in Matthew 19 that Jesus, he affirms the command, thou shalt not steal. We know that Paul spells out some elements of this command. In 1 Corinthians 6, he says thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. Stealing is a big deal to God. Well, as Christians, we can ask, what kinds of things might be included in this command? What kinds of things might be included? As I was doing my research this week, this is a simple command, but at the same time, there's a lot of different elements to stealing. And I'll go through the list that I found. We can talk about burglary. This is stealing from someone's home. We can talk about robbery. like a mugging. We can talk about Grand Theft Auto, hijacking a car. We talk about hijacking a plane, and you know, any of those kinds of things would fall under thou shalt not steal. We can talk about shoplifting, whether this be looting or simply not scanning something at the self-checkout. Pickpocketing. When I was a kid, I saw this happen once. I was at a store, and the person that I was with decided that a product was a little too costly. It was more than what it should have been. So the person that I was with took the sticker off of something else. This was before the barcodes and everything we have today. Took the sticker off of something else and put it on this. Knocked down the price a little bit. We could talk about embezzlement. We hear about this from time to time. People taking money from a nonprofit or something or a business. We could talk about extortion, gaining wealth by force. We could talk about racketeering. We hear about that every once in a while when it comes to mob bosses getting in trouble. This is making money by illegal means. We could talk about fraud, whether that be insurance fraud or tax fraud or defrauding the disability. We could also talk about writing bad checks. Now, maybe for you, you're like, you know what? I've never even considered any of those things. Certainly, there's nothing in this particular commandment that has anything to do with me. Well, I got some more stuff that we can talk about. And maybe for you, maybe some of these things might be considered trivial things. What if a waiter forgets to add something to your bill? Is that stealing? Or what if you get the wrong change? Is that just their loss? What about at work, taking a few supplies, overdoing it with an expense account? Well, what about idle work? You're at your job place and you're supposed to be working and instead you're playing computer games or playing games on your phone. Or how about copying someone else's homework? Or trying to get by with AI on that paper when you know you're not supposed to? Or what about taking credit for somebody else's work? And we can ask ourselves, does God consider anything trivial? Is there anything trivial in God's eyes? I have a particular pet peeve. This one would have to do with stealing somebody else's time. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I will list something on Facebook Marketplace, and one of my pet peeves is when somebody wastes your time on there. Maybe they say they're going to show up at a certain time, and then they just ghost you. They don't show up. You never hear from them again. You decided not to go with your family to Beaver Dam because you were going to sell this thing, and they just never show up. You're like, why did I even stay here? Or how about this? In your desire to keep up with your neighbors, you overextend yourself so far that you can't pay your bills. Does that fall under thou shalt not steal? And when I talk about not being able to pay your bills, I'm talking about because of the things that you want, not because of the things you need. Or how about wasting what you have been given? When I was a kid, I had this next-door neighbor. His name was Terry. We were about preschool age, and I remember Terry would get the fanciest new bike. And one time, he even got this. It was the coolest pedal car that I can remember. It was a General Lee. from the Dukes of Hazzard. It was a little pedal car. You know how many days it was before that was broke? Two. 2 days. That kid wrecked everything that he ever got. He just destroyed everything in 2 days. It was infuriating, him wasting the gifts that he'd received. Or how about in business? We could talk about false weights and measures. That's talked about in the Heidelberg Catechism. What about shady dealings? Maybe you know that that car you're selling isn't going to last past the weekend, but you don't disclose it. What about squeezing employees? What about illegitimately hiding taxes, hiding money so you can avoid taxes, or maybe cheating the public in some way? We're talking about immoral practices. I know that this was a big subject in Sioux Falls a number of years ago when we lived near there. Payday loan rate at the time at some of the different payday loan places was over 500% a year. 500% a year. Is God fooled by our schemes? Even if we think we're smart, even if we don't get caught, no. He is not fooled. Who's the fool? We are. God is sovereign. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of everything in the world. And as Christians, we're called to recognize that everything is His. Everything is His. When it comes to stealing from others, we're not just stealing from a corporation. We're not just stealing from our neighbors. We're not just stealing from the guy in the next town over. No, we are stealing from God because everything is His. And when we steal, what we're saying is that the blessings that we're giving to others by God, we're saying that God's wrong. God was wrong to distribute things the way that He has distributed them. That guy shouldn't have that. I'm going to take it. We're saying that God should have distributed things differently. And certainly for us, it's sinful to believe that we know better than God on how we or others should be blessed. Going through that list, I'm a thief, and I've stolen. Is there any hope for you and for me? Well, let me tell you a story about a couple of criminals. This is from Luke chapter 23. Jesus was crucified next to two criminals, and this is a conversation that happened before Jesus died on the cross for us. Verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Do we have hope? As sinners? As thieves? Yes. Yes. We're called to get right with Jesus, to admit our sin, to declare our need for Jesus, and to follow Jesus in faith. And when we have faith in Jesus, when we are part of the family of God, we know that we have new life. And in that new life, we avoid committing, going against those commandments. But we also try to do it right instead of doing it wrong. And we go the extra mile because we have new life in Jesus. I ran into this a couple of years ago, and my wife's probably going to laugh about this one, but I was looking around for a new motorcycle jacket. And I wanted a, it's a pretty expensive motorcycle jacket, and I didn't want to pay full price for it, so I looked around to see if I could find a used one online. And I would check some of the usual places, Facebook Marketplace and eBay, and I couldn't find the particular jacket I wanted on either one of those. So I went to another one that's like eBay called Mercari. I had never used it before. I decided I'd give it a try. I signed up for it, and I purchased the jacket. It got sent to me from somebody down south. I'm sure, you know, he listed it and sold it through this Mercari, and I bought it through Mercari. I got the jacket. The jacket was great. Everything that I was looking for, I pretty much wear it 90% of the time when I'm riding motorcycle now. Awesome jacket. Got it for a good price. About a week later, I get an email from Mercari that my entire purchase was refunded. Refunded. All of it. I thought that was strange. You know, I got this jacket used, but it was an expensive jacket. I was like, wow, that's something. So I end up emailing back and forth with Mercari saying, hey, something's wrong here. You guys messed up. I've got the jacket. It's great. And now I see that the money's back in my bank account. I got the money and I got the jacket. There's something wrong here. And they had me call them. So I call into a call center, and they start off by asking me what my Social Security number is. I'm like, okay, I've got the jacket, I've got the money, what do you need my Social Security number for? And they're like, well, we can't continue this conversation unless you give us the Social Security number. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if you get this, but let me explain it to you again. I have the jacket. I have the money. I want to make sure that the guy that sold the jacket got his money. Like, there's something wrong here. And they're like, sir, if you don't give us the Social Security number, then we can't go anywhere with this. I'm trying my best here. So, you know, I ended up hanging up. I'm like, you know, what am I going to do? I don't want to give them my Social Security number. And I've got the money and I've got the jacket. This is messed up. So I was done. Totally done with it. But my wife is like, oh, you can't just be done with it. You got to try. You got to give it one more try. And she was right. So I thought, you know what? I'll try it again. I'll give it one more try. Maybe I got the wrong guy. Maybe he just didn't understand what I was talking about. Same thing all over again. I ended up with the money and the jacket. I didn't feel right about it, but I don't know how to get the money to the guy. I hope he got paid. But that's what I'm talking about. Going the extra mile. Going the extra mile. I think that would be opposite of thou shalt not steal. We're also called to respect the property of others, to watch out for our neighbors, to be good stewards of the property and the things that we have, be good stewards of our time, be good stewards at work. And also, I think in thou shalt not steal is the idea of contentment, that we are called to be content. But we can go even further than that. We could do the complete opposite. Instead of thou shalt not steal, we could think about giving instead, being good givers. God has given us resources to use. And I believe as Christians, we are called to be generous as God is generous. some of us might look at the Old Testament commands for tithing. And we might say, hey, it's not repeated in the New Testament, but it's a pretty good plan. So we go with tithing, giving away 10% of what we earn. For some people, they might be tithers on the way, something that's a goal in the future for them. They want to get started with giving, but they're not ready to move to that 10%. They have to get their finances in order. And others certainly have been so blessed that they give way more than 10% of their resources so that they can be generous like their Heavenly Father is generous, so that they can build up a beautiful investment, not here on earth, but in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Jesus talks about that. And not just giving of our financial resources, but also giving of our time and serving. Could also be the opposite of thou shalt not steal. Giving our resources, giving our time in gratitude for what God has done for us. Again, these commands have way more into them than we can get into on a Sunday morning. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity and suggestion to do this. So, let us pray. And then right after prayer, I'm going to have Randy and Elton come up, and we are going to have a benediction and our final song. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for, again, reminding us that the way of salvation is not being good to be saved, but rather it's by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus. He paid it all for us so that we would have life. Lord, we ask for your continued guidance in our lives so that we do the opposite of stealing, that we be generous, and that we use our resources wisely to be a blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, as Randy and Elton make their way up here, I'll invite you to rise for the benediction, and then we'll have